Good morning, Rock Bible Church. All right, that was half of you. Good morning, Rock Bible Church. All right, that's better. Happy New Year. And dare I continue to say Merry Christmas. We still got a little bit of Christmas. You got to hold on as long as you can. Right? Wow, how'd you do? The holidays, the meals, more importantly, the extended family. Yeah, it was a good time. I got a couple interesting gifts. One was a comb for bald people. It had no teeth. And then, just because that wasn't enough, I got a brush for bald people that was just a flat piece of wood, no bristles. I was like, thanks. We didn't do the Dirty Santa gift exchange where you steal stuff. There's not supposed to be any jokes. But several got a kick out of that, so that was fun. I hope you are feeling the importance of Christmas beyond just the gifts and such. And we had such a fun time, at least I did, with the Christmas series, Jesus from Garden to Garden. And that's what I want us to be about. I want us to see things from different perspectives and take in as much as we can and see something new as often as possible. We had a great time, but it's over. It's time to start the new series. Anybody catch it? Luke, which you had to know. You had to know we were doing Luke if you listened to the Christmas series, right? A New Hope, the Emmanuel Strikes Back, right? No, we got to do Luke to start the year. Actually, we like to catch Gospels regularly. We rotate every couple years. We got to do at least a Gospel. And it takes a while sometimes to get back to them because when we do books chapter at a time, it takes a while to get through those books. And we're having a lot of fun. I apologize because I have a chart of all the books we've ever done. Going back to when we started. In fact, there was a slide earlier that said established 10-10-10. Love that. And we've been through 38 New Testament series, if we count this one, 37 before today. And I like to try and do new things, and then I realize that sometimes you got to go back and do things you've already covered because very few of you were here last time we did the book of Luke. Don't raise your hands, but it was back in 2014, so I'm not sure that anything's going to be lost if we do it again. And I started looking at it, having a little fun, and then I came across something that just solidified it. It's like, oh, we have to do Luke. But I'm going to let that be a teaser because it's going to show up in a little bit, and we're going to have some fun with it. Before we do, let's pray, and we get started. Lord, thanks for your word and how we can continually get new things from it. Pray, Lord, that you would show us why you made us, why you have us here, what your plans are. Most importantly, Lord, show us who you are, that we might better understand and follow. And so may our time in your word today be directed at that. Pray you would guide it, that it would honor your son through your spirit. It's in his name, Jesus, that we pray. Amen? Amen. Amen. Luke is going to start. It's really a two-book series, Luke and then the book of Acts. And Luke's one of the disciples. He's also considered one of the most technical. Some believe that his Greek is the most perfect scholar, physician kind of thing. And he's going to say, hey, look, I want to make sure we get this right. I know a lot of people have told this story, but Luke's one of the main proponents of the idea that the story can never be told too many times. And he says, I want you to hear it from my version. If you look at the series title that we've given this, it's God from Luke's eyes to yours. And so the goal of our chapters and series is going to be for you to understand, how is Luke viewing this? To what goal? That you might improve how you view it, how you see it. We need a heart for Jesus. We need a mind for Jesus. I like to add in there, we need eyes for Jesus too. We need to see the things that maybe we've missed in the past, and now we're starting to see them. And then the things we have seen dimly, we want to see them more clearly. Amen? Luke chapter 1, verse 1. Here we go. Finding impossible favor. Inasmuch, that's a weird way to start. Is that a whole word? Should that be three words? We're missing some spaces in here. You know, English was not my best, right? Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us. That's technical. Just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us. We still don't have a period. That's all one sentence. It seemed to me good also, having followed all these things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty. He wants them to be clear concerning the things you have been taught. Period. Okay, now your homework this week is to try to recite all four verses in one breath because it's one sentence. And you can understand why some would say, oh boy, Luke is kind of like Paul. They're like the masters of the run-on sentence. Right? There should be a quota on commas. Just saying. The point is basically what I told you earlier. He wants to make sure we understand what really happened. I know you've been taught this, but let's talk about it again. I love that. That's what we do every single Sunday. Most of us understand the gospel. We've heard about Christ on the cross. We know Christmas. We know Easter. The idea of grace, sin. Why do we keep coming? Why keep coming back? That first word up there, certainty, clarity. I love the big word, assurance. I want to be sure. I like the short version. No. I want to know. More I have clarity, more I know, the more sure I am, the better equipped I am when I go into making decisions, choosing actions, growing my filter, those kind of things. And Luke's going to have a lot of fun with this. We're going to hear some great stories in more detail than at least Mark for sure. And he says, here we go. Verse 5. In the days of Herod. Now watch this, because he's going to name drop like crazy. So you know exactly when this happened. We're not going to get into it, but that's why. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah. He had a wife from the daughters of Aaron. Her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous before God. That's pretty good. Walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. That's pretty good. Doing everything right. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren. And both were advanced in years. A lot of detail. What's the one detail you really are supposed to know? Barren. Okay, now knowing this, we can imagine, what's her prayer list like? God, can I have a baby? Why do you hate me? Right? Something along those lines, probably not that specific. I'm being a little sarcastic. But is she happy with God? She's trying to be. We'll refrain from making any decisions for her. But we know at least she had very big questions. Her prayer list was real rather than thank you for this food. Bless it to our bodies. She's got concerns. There's no heir. I would guess she's unhappy. And we're going to prove it here in just a minute. Now, verse 8, while he was serving, Zechariah, priest before God, when his division was on duty, priest before God. The priest should never be before God. The God's before the priest, right? That's not what it means. I'm drawing attention to, what is this phrase? Have you seen this phrase before? The priest before God? Say no. Some, okay, thank you. Do we need more sugar and caffeine? This is a weird little construction. Now, you could get away with priest. Have you heard of this concept, the economy of words? When you say something, if you can cut it in half, cut it in half. And if you can cut it in half again, do it. Why? It's more efficient. You're taking less of people's time. I would give you 8 more reasons, but I'm trying to use economy of words right now. It'd be very simple to say, was serving as priest. But Luke, in his technical side, says, nah, I gotta add a little color, right? Anybody like football games? Yep. It bothers me all the time when I'm watching a football game and somebody will say, you know, the commentator guy, I don't really like him or her or whatever. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm watching a football game. I'm not here to hear them. If they add a little something, then they do. If they don't, great. It's just it's free. I don't pay extra for it. And sometimes we get a little cool little information, you know. Hey, you know, his wife just gave birth yesterday, and he's playing today. You got to imagine he's on high. And I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting. Now I want to watch this player a little more. When we get more information, a lot of times it's good. What's the more information here? Now he was serving as priest before Theos. Who's Theos? The easiest guess of all time. We're at church. I just read it. I know Heitzman's not here, but no. Priest before Theos. What does Theos mean? I'll give you. It's a 3-letter word, starts with G, ends with D, and oh, I don't know. I think you just read it. What is it? It's God. It's the proper word for God. It's one of the names of God. It's the first one we get. What do you mean it's the first one? I mean, it's the first reference to God in the book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 8? No. First reference to God is what? Third word in Hebrew of the Bible, in beginning, Theos. Although back there, it's not Greek, it's Hebrew. So it'd be Elohim or Yahweh, right? What's Luke doing? He's saying this isn't just priest. This is priest before the God of all time, the Creator. He's not just filling a role. In fact, what did it say about he and his wife earlier? Him and his wife. His wife and him? What did it say about him? So you have to say him. If you add the wife, then she should go first, right? What did it say about his wife and him? Blameless. Walking before the Lord, commandments and statutes, and man, they're doing well. Why? Because they have a view of Theos or Yahweh. Sometimes people mispronounce it. Jehovah. You know who that is a reference to? The whole first chapter, well, more than chapter and a half of Genesis is God the Creator, Elohim, the God of power, showing up and saying, this is what will happen. I let there be, and there was, and he breathed, and he said, and can't stop it. This is just reality in its purest form. It's the God we hear when he says, I am. Love that. He's referencing. That's who he's priest before. And so you're going to see that Luke's going to have no trouble through the rest of his gospel connecting Jesus to the God of that name. Amen? Okay. I think we covered it. I could go on, but let's move on. Priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. He was on duty that day. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. That's like a big understatement, right? You're supposed to go into the, you know, to serve, and no one's supposed to go in there with you. They tie a rope to you in case, because if you do something wrong, the rumor has it you're going to get struck dead on the spot. And how are they going to get you? Because they're not coming for you. They're going to have to drag you out, hence the rope. So the fear when walking in there is this needs to go according to plan, right? Whatever protocol is, that's what we're doing, right? And he walks in and something's off immediately. Now, let me make sure we're clear. If an angel shows up, you're going to be afraid. How do I know that? Because every time an angel shows up, the first thing that he says is what? Fear not. Fear not, right? That's what they call him, the fear not angel. It's like, wait, isn't it Gabriel? Yeah, but it's cooler to call him the fear not angel. You're going to be afraid. You show up to church and an angel appears to you. Whoa, you're in a graveyard and an angel shows up to you. Oh no, right? You had a wedding, you had anything like ceremonial, special? Whew. You're at a hospital. You'd be freaked out. So Zach, that's what I call him sometimes. He doesn't know what to do. He falls down. The angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zachariah, for your prayer has been heard." Remember I was asking about the prayer list? "For your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son." Shouldn't it say child there? What? It's Pacific. Yeah. As one of my kids used to say growing up. It's very Pacific here. You're going to have a son. You know what this is? Spiritual. No, what's the thing? They take the image and they try to find out the gender. What's that called? It's a spiritual ultrasound. What? I love when people tell me, you know, we're not going to find out the gender of the baby. It's not right. They didn't do that in olden days. Are you kidding? God did it all the time. In fact, it's going to happen again in a few more verses. So any of you out there who are wondering what the child's going to be, I want to give you license. Go ahead and have an ultrasound if you want. You'll be right in line with God, okay? I mean, and have joy when you do it. You're going to bear a son. You shall call his name. This is the interactive portion of the morning. Welcome to Rock Bible Church. Right? You shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many, many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. For he will be great before the... No, he was saying, he said God, right? Elohim, Yahweh, we just talked about creator, first word used as a name for him through the first full... chapter and a half, chapter 2, verse 24, that's when the name changes in Genesis. All of a sudden, he changed names. Now, I know there's a translation problem here from Hebrew to Greek, but I mean, he got it right once before. All of a sudden, it says he will be great before the Lord. What's Lord? Well, I'm guessing it's not Theos, Scott. I'm guessing it's something else. Yes, are you curious as to what it is? Are you curious? Are you curious if it's Kyrios? Because if you were curious that it was Kyrios, you would be Kyriect. Kyrios. K-Y-R-I-O-S is the transliteration from Greek into English. I know the characters are different. Don't send me emails about that, okay? This is a different name. What's this name about? Lord, capital L, small O-R-D, lowercase. This is a Lord. Back then they had lords, Lord of the Manor, that kind of thing. Some of you obeyed. Somebody you had a relationship with. Somebody you were subordinate to. Someone who was maybe sovereign over you, gave you direction. Probably somebody that you had a covenant with or an agreement. We talk about how God had a covenant with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and others after that. I like to think that they had a covenant with the Lord rather than God. God is this big, powerful word. Theos comes in, make this, make that. That's it. I'll crush you. I'll elevate you. Nah, nah. Kyrios, or Lord, is more like, hey, there's a relationship. There's a personality there. This is the one where we'd start to think like Father, right? We get to see the emotional side, maybe the thinking side, rather than just the powerful acting side. He'll be great before the Lord. He must not drink wine or strong drink, and he'll be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. It will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. Oh no. Now we got another construction. What was Lord I said? If you were curious. Kyrios, right? Kyrios their Theos. He puts both together. Sometimes you see this as Lord God, right? To Israel, to the Lord their God. They have relationship with him, and he has the power to keep that relationship. Great little construction there. He will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. Look at that little word there, disobedient. Snuck it in there. To rejoice at his birth, disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. Ready for Elohim, Theos? No. Can never get ready for him. There's no prepping for that. But a covenant God, a Lord of relationship, you can get prepared for that. That's who comes from for us, right? What are we talking about here? Isn't this the beginning of the Christmas story? Scott, you said Christmas was over. We're doing a new series. Yes, but I also said every day is Christmas. It all ties together. He's making the argument that, yeah, all things come from God, but the God that comes for us is Lord. Kyrios. Zechariah said, no way. That's a short version. He says, how shall I know this? As in, how shall I experience this? Or how shall this come to happen? For them in that culture, knowing is means you experience it. Or if you knew it, you were going to experience it kind of thing. If you knew it, you were going to do it. He says, this isn't going to happen. For I'm an old man, see? Science doesn't work. And my wife is advanced in years. Okay, Gabe, I got a couple problems with your equation. Careful when you tell God you have problems with his equation. Because he's the God of miracle. He does it all the time. He does it so we have no explanation. He does it so he only gets credit. And then we are in awe and wonder. It gets us closer to those names of God. This helps us start to understand how he could be Elohim, how he could be Yahweh, how he could be Adonai, all these others. How am I going to experience it? And the angel answered him, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of Lord? No, God. What's he saying there? He's like, hey, look, I was just talking to management. And we came, you know, we decided we like you. And we, no, that's not what he said. He said, look, I spoke to the CEO. You're lucky he even knows your name. In fact, the fact that we talked about you, be careful what he says, because you might not exist when he talks about you. You show up in front of him, you're going to be gone. Is this a power move right here? Absolutely. Why does it happen? He says, I stand in the presence of God. I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you'll be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place. Why? Next slide. Because you did not believe my words. Now we get color to what Zechariah had said in response. He said, hey, you're going to have a son, you and your wife. He's like, wait, no way, this could never happen. The sciences work. Now we know he was combative, oppositional on it, because Gabriel gives us the commentary. He says, no, you didn't believe, which will be fulfilled in their time. I love this, because now he's not giving instructions like, hey, don't be afraid. Hey, you're going to have it. He's saying, this is what is going to happen, and you won't be ready, and you won't be able to respond. Now you won't get to even tell anybody, I'm going to do this without you. Ooh. Careful when you oppose God. When you look at things you're not supposed to look at, when you go places you're not supposed to go, do things with your body you're not supposed to do, put things into your system that were never meant for it, be careful when you go against his system, because then you're outside the system. And when you're outside the system, it's like health insurance. You're not covered. And it's costly. He says, yeah, no, this is what's going to happen. The people were waiting for Zechariah, verse 21. They were wondering at his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them. And they realized he had seen a vision in the temple. Yeah, much more than that. He kept making signs to them and remained mute. When his time of service was ended, he went to his home. After these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived. I wonder how that happened. Tongue in cheek. We're going to talk about that in just a second. And for 5 months, she kept herself hidden, saying, thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among the people. Now, how does Liz feel? Great. Yeah, sick. Okay, morning sickness. Great. All right. Okay, Gene. Jean's always good at the science. She's happy. Did it happen? She got pregnant. Well, I mean, we'll see. She still got to deliver, right? Verse 26, in the sixth month of her pregnancy, the angel Gabriel, oh no, here comes Gabe again, came from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. He came to her and said, greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you. Ooh. Elohim, Theos, with you? Or Kyrios? Relational God is with you. There's almost like a little feeling of, hey, God likes you. It's also literal. This is great sarcasm. Who's she going to give birth to? The Lord. So the Lord is physically with her. I think the double meaning is funny. I'm sorry. Get over it. The Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled with the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. Angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Now, I know this is the beginning of the Christmas story, and we failed to cover it this year during our Christmas series. We're working on something else, but we're going back to see the setup for this. And rather go back into a Christmas study or discussion, I want us to look at the Christmas story from different eyes, Luke's eyes. What's going on here? He says, I want you to know what Gabe said to Mary. You have found favor. You have found favor. I'm reading through this thinking, I want to find favor. Where do I look? In the couch cushions next to the French fries? Where do I get that? You have found favor with not Lord this time. What is with Luke? Is he confused? Switching back and forth between Theos and Kyrios? Is he confused? No. What's he doing? Tell you what he's doing. It just happened to me the other day. We were out, restaurant, lady serving us. We get to talking. We're similar age, we find out, Julie, myself, the lady. We start talking. Oh, she has kids. We have kids. Tell me about your kids. Well, my first is this age, and he just got married, and then my second one did. You know, I didn't just say, well, we have a boy, and a girl. What did I do? I started being descriptive, adding color, so they could better understand who that person was. That's what Luke's doing with us. I mentioned in the last series this idea of the names of God and how important they are. And then I started thinking about next series we got to do. But then, you know, I got my little chart out, you know, because I'm human and I put too much attention on organization and whatever. And somebody comes up to me and says, hey, I hope your next series is on the names of God, because I was hearing what you were saying, how he's got several different. It would be great to know what all those are. And I said to them, I said, you know, that sounds like a good like 5-part series. We could do that in the summer because I got another series coming up. And they said to me, oh, please don't make me wait till summer. I couldn't bear it, right? I start looking, hey, we need to do a gospel. I start doing some looking and things like that. You know the gospel that uses the most different names most often for God? Any guesses? Luke. I start reading in chapter 1 and I'm like, oh my goodness. The Lord has spoken. Wait, maybe Theos has spoken. God. I don't know. Maybe it was Lord God. I don't know who said it. I don't know. We're doing Luke. And as we do Luke, I want us to see how he uses the different names of God in different ways at different times for meaning, for clarity, for assurance, for relationship. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. You have found favor with God. What would it mean here? You have found favor with the most powerful, the only powerful being in existence ever. I told you I wanted to find favor. Wait, if it's favor with Elohim, Theos, that's Hebrew and then Greek, by the way. Now I want it even more. And behold, you will conceive in your womb, verse 31, bear a spiritual ultrasound. And you shall call his name. He'll be, and he shall be called Son of the Most High. Oh. Who's that a reference to? It's another name, isn't it? He's Most High. This was the one that was used kind of commonly in really Old Testament, and it kind of came out of practice. Every once in a while, you see it afterwards, but it kind of stopped being used. Why would he use it here? Has drawn attention to, he's son of the one that's always been here, that always will be here, still here. And the Lord God, there's that construction I told you about, Kyrios Theos, will give him the throne of his father David. Now, was Jesus born of David? Say no. He was born of the Holy Spirit through Mary, Joseph as the, we'll call him stepdad. David was generations and generations and generations earlier. In fact, we're going to get a lineage of him later in Luke. Why would he call him Father David? Because we're talking about a lineage of kings. Where'd he come from? At the end of that lineage, I'm going to point it out to you in a few weeks. It's going to be awesome because it's going to end in a really good place. Right? He will reign, verse 33, over the house of Jacob forever. That was the initial establishment of Israel, the nation, the 12 tribes, they were Jacob's sons. In fact, that was Jacob's name, Israel. And of his kingdom, there will be no end. Awesome. Gabe comes in and does the same thing he did with Zechariah. This is how it will be, period. And Mary said, remember Zechariah responded to the angel? Mary's going to respond to the angel too, but her response can be a little bit different. Watch what she does. Mary says to the angel, how will this be since I am a virgin? Zechariah said, how can I know this? Questioning it. We know he questioned it because of how Gabriel says, you didn't believe. Now I got to make you mute till the baby's born. She asked a different, how will this be? Since I'm a virgin. She's not questioning God. She's asking questions. That's the difference in your relationship with the Lord. When it's going well, you're asking him questions. When it's going poorly, you're questioning him. And it will continue to go poorly. And so you start asking him questions. Angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High, great, another name, will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of Yahweh. The ultimate beginning God. Beyond just relationship, Son of Most High, Most Powerful, this is ultimate. This is a status statement. Behold, your relative Elizabeth is in her old age and has conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. I love that. Was called, past tense. For nothing will be impossible with the Lord. There's a lot of things that are impossible with the Lord. There's nothing impossible with God. When he speaks, when he acts, when he shows up. And behold, Mary says, I am the servant of the Lord. I want to be in this relationship. Get me closer to this Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed her. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen. There's a lot of things that just happened when it comes to the Christmas story. I think for us and what we're doing today, I'd like us to see the two ideas combined. If you get your outline and you look at it, the top says Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 38. And then it says, finding impossible favor. Angel says to Mary at the beginning of the conversation, hey, don't be afraid. You have found favor. And at the end of the conversation, he says, and not impossible to find favor. You already found it. Hence, can't be impossible. Which means it is possible to find perceived impossible favor. It's possible for things to go above and beyond all that you could ask or think. For things to go beyond your anxiety, your fear, your experience, your thinking, your heart. It can go well. How cool is that? You know why? Because you have a Kyrios, you have a God of relationship, a Lord of relationship, but you also have an Elohim or a Yahweh, a God of power who can make it happen. I love that idea. Because if my God is impotent, then he's really nice to me, but he can't do anything. If he can do anything that he wants, but he's mean, well, it might not go well for me. Which one do you want? Want both. I'll take the combo meal, please. I suggest to you, when you make your prayer list, make sure you're praying to Lord God. Rather than just God, rather than Jesus, rather than just Lord or Most High. Make sure you're praying to both concepts there. Many as you can think of. Let's find out, like, how would you find impossible favor? Well, impossible is never understood. Why do you call it impossible? You feel like you can't do it? That's a heart statement. How would you say it with the head statement? I can't understand. How could this be? How will I know that? You can't prove this with math. This makes no sense. It's a mystery. We love that about God. It's like a murder mystery. Julie and I watched a murder mystery last night. It was amazing. And I thought to myself, as it's playing out, I thought to myself, there's no way you can't figure this out. There's no way. And they slowly started picking it apart. And until you get to the end, it was like, oh, never could have even thought of that. How fun. How amazing. I thought it was impossible. But I figured it out. It says that God, with God, nothing will be impossible. Love that. Does it say that you'll always understand it?
No.
No. In fact, one of the great statements about the gospel is it's called the mystery of the gospel. How does it make sense? I'm continuing to find out. I am on my learning car. I am enjoying the things that are being revealed about the gospel, because the older I get, the more I follow, the more I'm obedient, the more color gets added. Impossible is never understood. That's why they call it impossible. So if it's not understood, then what is it? It can't happen here. You're scared to death of it here, or just doubt it like crazy. No, Gabe told us twice. This is how it will be. You don't understand, but you are going to experience it. When impossible happens and you're an eyewitness, you freak out. You go to your friend, hey, Fred, you can't believe what I just saw. Right? I mean, all three of my kids' births. Impossible, but I was there. I saw, I can't believe it. Right? And when somebody tells you a story, one of the things you, I mean, especially in this day and age with AI, yeah, what's the question you ask?
Is it real?
Is that video real? Let's make it clear. I'm going to give you a truth. Usually my truths are theological. Today it's a social truth, okay? 99% of the videos that you're checking out on social media, they're fake, okay? Let's just get that out of the way. I always want, it's like, yeah, that's a good video. But then I want to call the person and post it and say, hey, were you actually there? Did you see it? Oh, no? Okay, I'm changing your name to Photoshop, okay? Bye. Click. I want to actually experience it. I want to be around people who experience it. That's why we don't go anywhere for our theology. You go to church for your theology. You go to the Bible for your theology. You pray to the Holy Spirit for your theology. And if you're lucky, you find somebody who's been trained and studied a little bit, and that's where you get your theology. Never call an electrician for your plumbing problem. And never call a plumber to do your dental work. Amen? So tired of people coming and telling me their theological thoughts because they saw a post on something from Instagram. You know, I'm not going to say it. Impossible is never understood. It's experienced. Amen? Amen. Ask God, what impossible do you want to experience? There's your prayer request or discussion item for your small group. Number two, favor. Favor is always J.D. When you find favor, it's change most of the time. When change happens, are you always happy about it? Isn't that good? Right? Oh no, I'm sick. The doctor says I got to come in and get a scan because I had a little pain or a cough or something. And we think that's, what's that word that we call that? B, starts with B, rhymes with dad. It's bad. I go get a test and then I got a pain and whatever. And so you make a decision about that. You say, oh, this is bad. Then you go in, they do the scan and they go, hey, you got a big old blob over here. Good thing you had that pain because we never took this picture and wouldn't have found that blob. And now you're just going to have outpatient surgery. You'll probably be fine. You'll take a little meds and then you'll be good. Now your judgment statement about the first pain has changed. No longer was it bad. Now it's good. Why? Because your experience, go back to the last slide. Your experience changed. And all of a sudden your decision starts changing. God never changes. When he acts with the end in sight, and he knows and defines and forces what is good. So always be careful when you ask the question, why do bad things happen to good people? Because favor, sorry, James, second fill in, favor is always a judgment decision. Oh, man, I can't hold my breath that long. Favor is always a judgment decision. Mary never says favor. Zechariah never says favor. In fact, who has to say it? Gabriel, twice. Behold, O favored one. Hey, don't worry, don't be afraid. You have found favor. She has to be trained into the judgment statement of favor because she hadn't experienced it yet. It was still confusing. She's never understood it. And we have to learn how to make judgment statements about what is good and what is bad. And that's why God says, don't gossip. Why he doesn't, he says, don't do sexual immorality. Don't do all these other things. Why? Because you're playing with things you don't understand, and you're going to have experiences later that are different than you've experienced. And he's already made judgment statements about those things, and you're going to experience those judgment statements, and your decisions are going to be different. It's going to be weird. Favor is always a judgment statement. It's never E. You know, we're too old. She's beyond years. She hasn't been able to have kids since all this time anyways. I don't know how I'm going to make this happen. That's Zach. Mary, wait. Never had intercourse. How's a baby going to have? I can't make this happen. And I can't, because I'm not married yet. I can't make this happen. How do I earn this? It's never earned. Favor is never earned. And we're still trying to earn it? I got to go to church every Sunday or God's going to punish me. No. If I don't give back to him 10% of everything that I make, then he's going to find me in lightning or something. I don't know. No, it's not how it works. Because we have a Lord who wants relationship. If he wants to get you to health, he'll get you to health. If he wants you to have more money, he'll get you more money. If he wants you to help someone else, he'll make it so blind and obvious in front of your face, you'll run into it. If he wants you to know a truth, you will have it. If he wants you to be confused, he will make you wait. Anybody else experienced all those too many times? Yeah. Favor is always a judgment decision. It's never earned. I love the way Zechariah approaches it because it gives us clarity on the negative side. And I love the way that Mary approaches it because it gives us clarity on the positive side. For nothing will be impossible with God. Amen. Third one, last one. Finding this impossible favor. What's it based in? You're going to be mute because you didn't believe. Then we get to Mary's response, and she says, okay, I believe you, but Is there a different math we're using? She believed. It's based in belief and obedience. It says at the end, he says, I'm going to come for a people prepared. Be prepared. That's the Boy Scouts. Sing along. Be prepared. How do you prepare for Elohim? I told you earlier. You can't. You hope when he shows up that you have found favor. Can you prepare for a Lord? Absolutely. Can you prepare for covenant? Can you enjoy it? Absolutely. God gonna get mad at you? I think it's a fair question. God gonna be nice to you? I have that question, right? I got to use these now, and I don't have any of this. And people are starting to make jokes about it. Buy me toothless combs. I don't know. Is he going to like me? Is he going to be nice to me? How about I stop making judgment decisions on either side? And just, how do I prepare myself? You sang it. James, right? Didn't they sing it? What was the slide I asked you for? You've called me higher. You've called me deeper. Higher. Higher than what? Where you are now. Is that going to be a new experience? Welcome to change. What's deeper? Deeper than what? Oh, where I am now. Yeah, is that going to be a new experience? Uh-huh. Why would you do that? I'll go ever wherever you lead me, Lord. Lead me. Do you realize what you just condemned yourself to? Is it a condemnation? Depends on what decision you make about it, right? Could be glorious. Could lead to baby crying in the back of the room. Is that glorious? Yes. It is. It's, I was told by one of the wisest women I ever met, the greatest sound in church. Crying babies. It's the best sound. In fact, we have very few rules in the church. If your baby cries, you're not allowed to leave. You just got to stay. It's the most beautiful sound because we have to change our thinking on stuff. Amen? God wants you to find impossible. He wants you to find favor. And the only way to do that is to prepare yourself best you can. Do we take attendance at church to get punished or rewarded by attending church? No. Do you get punished or rewarded by your tithe and offering? No, no, none of that. How much you serve? How many names of God do you know and can you explain them? Yeah, you're going to get no points for that. 0 points, sir. I hate saying this because the implication's about sports, but it's actually true. You know, there was only one place there should be a participation award with God. If you just participated in soccer, I don't think everybody gets a ribbon. That's the way I live, right? But if you participate with God, everybody gets the same thing. What do you get? Participation award. You get a seat at the table, the banquet table. At the end, now stop your grumbling, complaining, gossiping. Quit talking about other people. Go serve other people. Start loving. Do all this stuff. Start believing that something's going to happen and then go figure out what it is and say, Lord, how will this be? Amen? That's what we're going to see from Luke. And we're going to continue to see names of God show up in different ways. And we're going to have fun talking about them and explaining them. Amen? Thanks to Joy. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this, this idea that favor is possible. In fact, that you show up and grant it undeserved, unearned, unclear. In fact, beyond all markers we as humans have. And yet you offer it. You offer it to everyone. Help us, Lord, in our judgment decisions. That what we want, what we value is our experiences with you, our preparation with you, our participation with you. Help us to be a people prepared. For the will of the Son of God. Now, if you've never made that decision, that's why we're here. And you make that decision. You tell God, I want favor with you from now on. I accept you as Lord and Savior. Your death on the cross, your payment of sin. You're taking my place as a substitution so that I never need taste death eternally. The reward of heaven, the grace and mercy of your love, I accept that today. Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. Say it however you want. But come and talk to us after. We want to help, support, bless. Lord, we thank you for the offering we're about to receive. Pray you use it to help us find your favor. And we pray this in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. May you be curious enough to find favor. Amen? Amen. Go with him.
We have one more song.